Madigay, Gimbe, Bidipi, Baray. That means welcome friends to Biripi Country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people who stayed into this land. I would like to pay respect to the elders both past and present, and extend that respect to all listeners of King's Kiss.
A few weeks ago, Tony spoke on the subject of angels and told us about some of his experiences with angels. Today he wants to continue on the subject of angels, and you'll hear about how God protects us without us even knowing what's happening.
Just before Christmas, I was talking about angels, and today I want to continue along that theme. Years ago when my family lived in Musselbrook, we had a friend who lived out of town on a farm, and she was about 8.5 months pregnant, and her husband asked me would I come and get her because she lived out in the back blocks, way out back on a dairy farm. And he knew if she went into labour, there was no way in the world he could get her into town. Me and the wife was only just married. We had two little children and the show was coming to town. The show was on that night and I really didn't want to go and get this woman. The drive out there, the drive back. And I promised to take the kids to their first show. And so, okay, I decided I'll do it. So when I got out there, she was 8.5 months pregnant. I put her in the car, in the front seat. I had a Murray mover. I had an 8-seater Mitsubishi van, 8-seater. And on the way back on the gravel road, I was going too fast, too dangerous. And there was a sharp drop, like a cliff, right on the edge of the gravel road. There was no fence. It was a road that was not used a lot. Anyway, the car started to slip and slide, heading towards the edge, and I panicked. I hit the brakes, and I knew there was no way in the world that I wasn't going to go over the side. And then all of a sudden, I felt something push against the van and just started pushing it across, just pushing it back onto the road. And as I braked, instead of going over the side, I still would have went over the side as I braked, but this invisible force just pushed me back over up against the cliff face, up against the side of the mountain that I was travelling on. And then I was safe. Then I took the hint and slowed down. I took the hint and thought, well, I'm going to get home safely. But she was pregnant. She got such a fright, I thought she was going to have the baby right there in the front seat. We got home, and now I think back on it. And at the time, I knew that it was angels that stopped me from going over the cliff. Well, a few years later, I was living in Mount Druitt with my family, and I was asked to go and preach at a place called Bateman's Bay. And I was asked to go down there 2 or 3 times, but the first time I went on my own. You know, sometimes when you wake up and you sleep funny on your neck and you can't turn your head, you got to turn your whole body because you can't turn your neck. It was like a kink in the neck. And I got the wife to pray for me and the family to pray for me, and I set off heading to Bateman's Bay to preach. And it was really difficult for me to drive down the freeway, and as I went across this country road and headed towards the mountains. And as I was coming up the mountain, this car full of youth from teenagers come screaming down the mountain at a fast pace, and when they came around the corner, they hit the rock face, and then the car got airborne, and it was coming straight through my windscreen. I was good as dead. There was no way in the world I could have survived that, because I was coming up, and they was coming at me at a great force, because they were speeding, they hit the rock wall, and the car got airborne. As I cried out to God, just before the car made impact, it was caught like it was in midair and gently placed back down on the side of the road, and it just kept going. And I knew then that it was a miracle, and I knew then it was one of my guardian angels protecting me, keeping me safe. And then with caution, I finished up getting to Bateman's Bay, and I pulled up in the town, and I was seeking directions to get to the pastor's house or where I had to be. Satan tried everything to stop me from getting there, but God's plan was for me to get there and preach. And the moment I got there, the pain in my neck disappeared. The moment that I arrived, I was okay. And then When I stayed at the pastor's house, I liked to walk and pray. And he lived in a sort of bushland around his house. And there was a fire trail leading up this mountain that backed onto his property. And I remember saying to him on the Friday afternoon, I wanted to go for some prayer. I just wanted to go for a walk. And then as I got halfway around this bend, I ran into a brick wall of demonic spirits. And I knew that place that I was standing was the place where witches used to meet. And I just knew it in my spirit. And then it was like I could feel these invisible hands touching me. I wasn't afraid because the Bible says we have authority over demonic spirits. But when I cried out to God, my angels that were protecting me went to work. And they protected me and kept me safe as I went back down to the house. And you know, the funny thing was I like to read when there's no TV. And I said to the pastor, I'd like to have something to read, please. And he gave me this book called This Present Darkness. And it's an insight. If you've never read it, if you've never heard it on CD, then I ask you to get the book. There's two books, This Present Darkness and Piercing the Darkness. And it's written by an author called Frank Peretti. The local Christian bookshop will have a copy. And I remember reading this, and I prayed and asked the Lord, because the book is about interaction between human beings, angels, and God, the Holy Spirit, and demonic forces. And it's just an insight in how angels interact in everyday life with everything that we do. And I believe this man had an insight from God when he wrote this book. But it's certainly an eye-opener. There was another time when I was involved in prison ministry. We used to pray every week before we went to the prison. It was a children's jail, and I was a prison chaplain. And I took two young girls with me every time, and this particular day we didn't have time to pray. And because we didn't pray for protection when we went in there, everything went wrong. There was a riot at the dinner table when we were having a meal with the prisoners, but God protected us. And then when we left the prison, there was a band of demonic spirits surrounded us. I cried out to God, and there was a bright light flashed across the sky and like an explosion. And then there was a battle going on in the invisible realm. I could hear a clash of spiritual forces, good against evil, angels against demonic spirits. And then when we finished there, we left there, an angel stood beside me and said, Tony, you can go home now. You're safe. One of the demonic spirits got into the car the young girl was driving, and she was swerving all over the highway, swerving all over the place. I tried to catch her, but I didn't realize at that time I should have stood on my authority and spoke to that demonic spirit, because there's no time or space in the spiritual realm. I didn't have to catch her to pray out and get rid of the spirit. I could have done it while I was driving. But because we panicked, and I panicked, I didn't realize what I had to do. But we did it anyway. She was safe in the end. But God is so good to us. He protects us all the time, and he's looking out for us. And he's always got our heart and our best interests at heart. God never sleeps nor slumbers. I've said it before. And he's always on the job. He's always looking out for us. Years ago when I lived in Sydney, there was this woman. She was crossing Parramatta Road at Auburn and she had to go up a set of stairs and cross over the overpass bridge going over the 6 lane of traffic. And as she was walking along up over the overpass, she saw a man coming her way and looking suspicious. Anyway, she got a good look at this man as she walked past him. She didn't give it another thought. Then when she got home, she heard all these sirens, and because she only lived not far across the other side of the road, and she went this way every day. And this particular day, when it came on the news, they had arrested a man for murdering a woman, but she came along on the bridge just only moments after this woman had crossed the bridge. And so when they was looking for witnesses who might have saw this man, she came forward. And when she picked him out and identified him as the person she saw on the bridge, she was so curious to why he didn't murder her, because she was on the bridge alone. So when she got the opportunity, she asked him at the police station, why didn't you murder me when I crossed over the road? Because I was on the bridge alone. And yet you murdered the next woman that came along by herself. And he said to her, I wanted to murder you. I've been watching you for weeks. And I knew your routine. I knew you was coming this way at this time. But he said, when I got on the bridge and saw you coming, there was two men walking either side of you. And she said, no, there was no one on the bridge with me. She didn't see the angels walking with her, but he did. And he chose not to murder her, but murdered the woman that came along behind her. And I believe when I read the story and I heard the story, she was telling it in a church because she wasn't saved when she was on the bridge. But she got saved not long after. I remember hearing about it in one of the churches that I was visiting in at the time. But you see, God works on your behalf. I don't know why the other woman got murdered, because people get murdered every day. That's just the way it is. And we can't question God, why did you save that woman and not the one behind her? But you see, God will do his best, and his best is always good enough to look out for us. But sometimes when your number's up and it comes to time for you to die, and we all die sometime, just a matter of when. I remember how God protected that woman and how he kept her safe even though she wasn't saved. And I've met many a bloke in prison. They knew that God had protected them, and different jobs, bank jobs and other things like that. But they never got saved until they was in prison where I was preaching and sharing the gospel to them. See, God protected them in their sin, in their crime, but kept them for their appointment with me in prison that I could share the gospel with them. And then they got saved after. You know, I remember one guy, he was a rapist. He had a lot of problems because his parents were killed when he was a small child. But he got away with it for years. And you know, when we were sharing a cell and I shared God with him, he accepted Christ. But he said to him many a times when he was out committing these crimes, he should have been caught, he should have been shot, he should have been killed. But he said he didn't understand why that he survived all that time. God has his reasons for doing things his way. We don't understand, and we don't even try to understand. Why would God save a man like Kevin Crump? Now, Kevin Crump was a man who was running from the police. Killed Virginia Morse, him and another man called Baker. They were never to be released from prison because of the horrendous crimes they committed. And should they ever get freed in this state, they will be extradited to Queensland because they murdered Mrs. Morse on the other side of the border. And so they're never going to get out. But having spent time with Kevin Crump, even though I know my dad wanted a lynching once when he was arrested and put in Moree, but many a times he started telling me things about where he knew he should have probably been killed or hurt pretty bad. But he didn't understand how he survived all them years. And then when he got to prison, everybody hated him. Everybody wanted to kill him. But God had a destiny for that man, because he met me in prison when I was preaching the gospel and he got saved. And you know what? My dad did visit this man, because when my dad had a triple bypass, this man sent my dad a letter and told him he was praying for him. And when you think 10, 15 years before, Dad wanted to lynch him with a crowd outside of the police station in Moree. God has a plan to look out for you. If you're not saved today, if you don't know Jesus, and you think about your life, there's times when you know you should have had that car accident, or you know you shouldn't have walked away from that accident, or you know yourself that you walked away from that pub and there was a brawl later and somebody was killed. You know yourself you should have been there right in the thick of it. But why did you leave? Was an angel guiding you and getting you out of the place? Was an angel speaking and whispering to your heart? Was an angel speaking to your spirit? Was your angel looking out for you more times than you care to realize that God and his angels, his messengers, are looking out for you? They don't always succeed because God will not impede on your free will. God never overrides our free choice. The moment we reject God, he gets us to a point where we can accept him or deny him. The moment we deny him, the process starts all over again. God will be looking out for you. And God will never give up on you. You could be the biggest sinner in the world. You know, you could be a man that don't honor God. You could be a man that puts money first and be greedy. You could be a man that goes out at night and breaks into people's homes. You could be a rapist. You could be a drug addict. You could be a junkie. You could be a murderer. God's got one thing to say to all you people that are doing these things, that I love you. God says, I love each and every one of you. And I'm never, 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 ever going to give up on you. Because I want you to live life forever and to be in my company. I want you to experience the life as I intended it right from the very beginning. Today, if you don't know God, just remember, the next time you think it was a coincidence that you didn't die. You see, I have another friend. She caught the train every morning. This day, she don't even know why. She's never late because she used to get a bus from her house to the train station, and she should have been on that train, the Granville rail disaster. And the carriage that she rides in every day, she would have died. But that day, she missed the train. She was late. For the first time in 20 years, she was late for that train. Now, this woman's still not saved that I know of. But I haven't seen her for many years, maybe 10 years. She might even be passed away, I don't know. But the last time I spoke to her, she was moving to Queensland. Well, she'd have to get saved up there. They say Queensland's God's country. Well, you never know. But I wish and pray that she, if she isn't passed away, that she will come to realise just how God has protected her over the years, how God looked out for her. God is looking out for you today, listener. Whether you're saved or not saved, he's given his angels charge over you. So today I say, let God arise and his enemies be scattered, and that you will give God that opportunity that he's looking for when he stands and knocks on the door of your heart, that you will open the door and let him come in.
Into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in.
Years ago, while I was on the Law and Order campaign, I was invited to speak at a place called Casino. And when I arrived there, the organisers wanted to call it off because there was death threats made against me being an Aboriginal and speaking against Aboriginal people breaking the law. And there was a big crime spree back at that time that I was doing these Law and Order speeches. And I remember sitting down at the table with the three women that organised it. And I said to them, I don't have any fear for my life because my God will protect me. He will send his angels to protect me. And I said, just trust God. And these three women were not saved. And so the next day we arrived at the venue. And I said to God, I said, open their eyes and let them see that there's more that stands on our side than that stands on theirs. And so, as I got out of the car at the car park, as I looked up, you couldn't see anything. It was a bright sunny day, and it just looked like a really bright sunny day. But I saw in the spirit, as the Lord opened my eyes, every space in the car park The parklands around the building was covered in angels. There was angels everywhere. And when I walked into the room that I was going to talk, there was angels all around the walls, sitting in the chairs. There was angels everywhere. And then I said, Lord, please let these three women, they were unsaved, see them. And I said to them, when I preach, God always, Jesus always stands there, puts words in my mouth. And then when I stop talking, he puts more words in my mouth. And I started to speak that day, and I wasn't speaking or preaching, I was speaking on law and order. But I commit everything to God, and these three women sit up the back, and they saw Jesus standing next to me, putting words into my mouth as I was speaking on the platform. And then their eyes were really open when they saw Jesus, because they saw all the angels in the room. And then when this Aboriginal woman, I didn't realize was the pastor's wife, came in screaming and yelling and ranting and making threats. Now, this was a pastor's wife making threats to kill me. When she came into that room, she had a couple of little tiny demons with her, attacking her mind and driving her on. But you know what? Those demons was in fear because Jesus stood in the room. His presence was there. And all these angels. And when these women came outside, they saw all through the parklands and everywhere, there was angels everywhere. We didn't even get back to their place for dinner. I led them to the Lord right there in the hall because they believed, because they saw the angels. They saw Jesus. They believed because they saw. But how many people that accepts Christ without seeing? Because it's a tug of the heart. It's a real tug of the heart. God really speaks to the heart. But I remember that day. I'll never forget it. They wanted to call it off. I said, but there's more that stands on our side than it is on theirs. And they witnessed a miraculous event.
Yes, God is in the miracle business. And today we've just had a little glimpse into what is happening in the spiritual realm. If you'd like to talk to Tony about trusting God with your life, you can ring him on 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Heidi, and I hope you've been helped by what you've heard. On behalf of the King's Kids team, God bless, and we hope to catch up again next week. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.